So this must be what crow tastes like. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Hello to you, Barry, and hello to the people out there in Radio Land.
Yes, definitely hello to our friends in Radio Land. And before they start going, aha, I'm not talking about us eating crow. What I am talking about, and this is one where I'm sure that they have been, shall we say, enjoying the taste of this now for a little while, is our friends over at the United Nations.
Are they our friends? I don't think so.
I'm trying to be generous here. But the folks over at the United Nations have themselves a little problem, Charles. Well, more than a few little problems, but one specifically that we're going to talk about today. You see, the United Nations has a little subgroup that should be familiar to some of our listeners who've been around and heard these things, probably now for, I don't know, how many years has this been going on?
Oh, gosh.
At least 7 or 8, if not more.
Well, we've been having Dr. Kaufman to camp to talk about this issue, and we started talking about this, at least 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay, 10 years ago. Okay, well, the United Nations has a little group that's basically baking up a nice big crow pie for them. And it's called the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC. Chuck, the IPCC is a notorious little panel because they have been the ones that the mouthpieces for the global warming / climate change panic, I guess you could say, that many places around the globe have experienced through their elected officials mainly. But these are the folks who come out with all these hockey stick graphs and other data, look at last year, it was more warm than any other year on record, as quote-unquote irrefutable proof of global warming, and so a need for our policymakers to get tough on greenhouse gas emissions, specifically carbon dioxide, which the vast majority of carbon dioxide comes from every breath that you and I and all of our listeners exhale.
Well, actually, the vast majority of carbon dioxide comes from volcanic activity.
Okay, so maybe the volcanoes are a little bit more, shall we say, breathy than we are.
Man contributes about 3%, 3 to 6% at most of the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. At least 94% comes from natural sources. Most of that from volcanic activity.
So just plug up all the volcanoes, right?
Yeah. Now, there's another interesting phenomena here, not to get too scientific with everybody, but one of the things that happens is as the planet warms, more carbon dioxide comes out of the ocean, which tends to absorb the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Yeah, so that's called evaporation, right?
Well, no, it's actually, let's not get it too far into the physical chemistry of it, but what happens is as the oceans grow colder, they will absorb more carbon dioxide, and as they grow warmer, they absorb less.
Okay.
Okay, this is a chemical fact. Now, what has happened is, over the last century or so, we've had a great increase in solar activity. And what happens when the solar activity increases? The temperature of the planet goes up.
Oh, posh. It's not due to solar activity. Charles, it's due to people not watching their carbon footprints. Haven't you listened to Al Gore?
Exactly. This is an absurdity, but
well,
yes.
but the thing is, Chuck, if what you just said is true, and ladies and gentlemen, it is, then human emissions of carbon dioxide, which is the main greenhouse gas that everybody's worried about, wringing their hands over to UN, only 3% of the carbon dioxide that gets into the atmosphere comes from humans.
Yeah.
But yet, why is it that we have policymakers all over the globe, and including in our country, who are wringing their hands and crying and talking about the end of all things if we don't regulate human activity and make everybody have to pay taxes for their carbon footprint?
Yeah. Well, of course, all you have to do is look at how the IPCC got its name, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, because when it first started, it was all about global warming. Well, since global warming stopped about 1999, and everybody knows it, who knows anything? In fact, if you recall, Michael Mann,
yes,
who is a big player in climate change, quote-unquote science, or climate change pseudoscience, was corresponding with the East Anglia Climate Department of that East Anglia University. And if you recall, the Hide the Decline.
Yes.
And we played a little joke way early in when we started running these shows, but we played the little joke YouTube video about Hide the Decline. And it was Michael Mann and I think it was the Jib Jab people. Mm-hmm. Or if it wasn't, it was somebody who knew how to do exactly what they did. But what has gone on there is they know the global warming stopped now about 14 years ago. So they've had to go over to climate change.
Now, wait a minute. You said the global warming stopped about 14 years ago. If I remember our lectures from Dr. Kaufman at camp, that's Camp American, folks. Go check it out at campamerican.com. If I remember our lectures from Dr. Kaufman at camp, wasn't that about the same time that solar activity started going into what I would call a very deep, deep valley?
No, that's absolutely true. And anyone who follows sunspot activity, and I happen to be a kind of a casual observer because I enjoy shortwave radio. And one of the things that follows sunspot activity is shortwave radio propagation. Not just global warming, folks, and not just the warmth of the sun. There are a number of things that follow solar output and sunspot activity, and one of those is shortwave radio propagation. So I've paid attention, and we hit a really high peak about 1999, and we hit a double peak, what's called a double peak. In other words, the sunspot activity peaked, and it dropped, and then it peaked again on the same cycle, which isn't unheard of, but it's kind of rare. And all of a sudden, after 1999, 2000, things fell off greatly. And even though we have are near the sunspot maximum right now, the sunspot count is extremely low. But what is going on with the sun is that it's acting very strange. Normally, you get bands of sunspot activity across the equatorial regions. These days, you're getting sunspot activity everywhere on the face of the sun. Now, the Russians have been observing this for years, and they are predicting that we're about to go into a period of very little sunspot activity, and they warned early on that that's going to lead to hard winters. Now, last winter, we kind of got off easy, but guess what happened last winter? We had some really weird solar activity at the same time. This year, we have really weird solar activity, and we're cold here. Now, some of the other parts of the country are warm, but other parts of the country are also cold. Southern California is extremely cold for that part of the country. The Northeast is extremely cold for that part of the country. The central parts of the country are warm. What does that mean? Okay, this people will say, well, see, that's proof positive of
man-made global warming.
Of climate. No, climate change.
Remember, right. We don't use the term global warming anymore because it's passé now.
The new bad language
is climate change.
Well, Barry, the beauty of this thing, if you understand what goes on, the climate is always changing.
Of course it is.
Greenland didn't get called Greenland just because it was a little bit green on the southern part of the coast. They are finding, at the end of the last warming period, they're finding Viking villages that were underneath a glacier.
Yeah.
Well, as the glaciers melt back, well, here's these Viking villages that were there
before the glacier formed.
Yeah, in the 1100s, right? And then it got really cold after that, and all the Vikings left because Greenland wasn't green anymore.
Well, that's right.
Now, the Sahara Desert, sometimes a big dust storm will kick up, and when it does, it blows all the sand away, and there are tree stumps underneath from when it used to be the Sahara Forest.
Yes. Well, folks, we do have climate change. But, you know, it isn't just Chuck who's talking about the sunspot activity and solar activity being a contributing factor. You see, because recently the IPCC has been putting together a draft of a report, a major upcoming report that they're getting ready to release. Well, somebody got a hold of it, a blogger by the name of Alec Rawls, who released it on the web. And what does it say? It says that the sun may play a larger role than we really thought in generating climate change. And this is from the report, quote, "Results do suggest the possibility of a much larger impact of solar variations," that'd be sunspots, "on the stratosphere than previously thought, and some studies have suggested that this may lead to significant regional impacts on climate." That sounds just exactly what you're talking about, Chuck, regional impacts.
Well, exactly. One of the memes that's being presented out there is that the global temperature has continued to climb, and they present modern data taken over the last few years. There's a problem with that data, Barry. They've been closing some of the data collection points over the last 10 years or so over the coldest part of the globe, and that's in Siberia. So that Siberian data is not being taken anymore, so it can't be included in the temperature samples, so it looks like the average temperature is rising.
Well, that's just duplicitous.
Well, of course it is. It's bad science, and these guys know it's bad science. But as we saw with Michael Mann and the whole height of decline thing, he's more than willing to create mathematical wizardry and use the simple data to show, look, how this temperature is going up when, in fact, all these points are missing. Anybody who's done any kind of data plotting knows that when you have missing data points, you have no idea what your data did in those areas. If you don't take it, you don't know what it is. You can't fill it in with a line. Now, that's what these guys are doing. They're filling in the data with a bar graph or with a line of some kind of a regression. You can't do it. You can't assume that the temperature there is the same as it would have been on a global average. Sorry, that's just bad science. So what is it about? Why would these guys want to use bad science to keep this meme going? Well, it becomes obvious after a while. It's about power, primarily.
And it's also about grant money.
And it's about money. I've had people make fun of me, say, well, you paranoids, you're out there talking about all this grant money, and all these guys are doing this for grant money, and you don't know what you're talking about. Hey, let me tell you, folks, I've worked in a grant-driven program. And the heroes in grant-driven programs, now, our program didn't do this. I can tell you right up front. We did scientific research with the grants we received, but we were always dependent upon those grants. I don't know what would have happened if our grant money dried up. And that's exactly what these guys are looking at.
That's right.
Their grant money could dry up and their departments then dry up. Some of these guys are sitting on chairmanships and prestigious places in their universities because they have grant money coming in when it becomes clear that what they've been doing is fake. And they've been faking the data and faking the results of the data, the crunching of the numbers. They could lose their grant. And when they do that, all the parties stop. All the things they do at the university stops. No new equipment. No laboratory technicians. No offers to teach classes. No offers to fly around the globe and speak. It's a loss of prestige and a loss of income for these guys. So let's not kid ourselves that they're the noble knight on a white horse riding in to save us from the 4% of carbon dioxide that we contribute to the atmosphere. Because when you look at it that way, and if you recall several years ago, and most scientists who did this got laughed out of academia, and that was, if you recall, raising cattle for beef was bad because all the flatulence from the cows,
yes, I remember,
from converting grass to protein was bringing out greenhouse gases. Well, it turns out that the biggest greenhouse gas in the atmosphere is water vapor.
Oh.
And man has zero control over the amount of water vapor in the air. It's all controlled by cosmic radiation and solar activity.
But they don't want to talk about that, Chuck.
No, they don't.
In the article that we got this from, which was from FoxNews.com, called Report Shows UN Admitting Solar Activity May Play a Significant Role in Global Warming, they had a quote from a gentleman by the name of Aaron Hertas, of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Now, I think it's interesting because he's trying to poo-poo the idea that the solar activity had any real significant role to play, and he says that, well, they somehow tend to neglect mentioning that solar variation is smaller than the heat-trapping power of carbon dioxide. And they say in the article, to back that up, he points to data that show that solar activity and temperature rose together from 1880 until 1960, that then solar activity stopped increasing even as temperatures continue going up. You know what that is, Chuck? That's the hockey stick graph.
That's the hockey stick graph.
And that has been significantly...
It's been repudiated.
They're still using it.
The IPCC is still using it. Nobody else is. And there's a reason for that. The hockey stick graph was designed to smooth out the medieval climate optimum, and that's exactly what we were talking about when Greenland was Greenland. And also, at the same time, you could grow wine grapes in England, which you really can't do now, and 2 wheat crops a year came off English wheat fields. Uh-huh. You can't do that now.
No.
So, the fact is, we've gone through periods where it was warmer, had nothing to do. I've seen some really silly articles out there. Yahoo News is infamous for this, very picking up stuff and putting it out in terms of all that was caused by man burning wood for energy and blah, blah, blah. Well, the population was 500 million people, maybe, if that high,
yeah,
of the entire world. Those people burning wood did not create that problem. That is a solar issue. It's well beyond our control. And this idea that we need suddenly to put curlicue light bulbs in and stop using gas for heat and going over, you know, I have no problems with going to solar energy and wind energy. But the fact is, you're never going to replace hydrocarbon with anything other than nuclear. Nobody wants to do that.
Except for France.
Well, you know, the French are different folk. But these are the facts, Barry. It's fake science. in order to make us change our lives when, in fact, we have nothing to do with what's going on with climate. We're out of time. I would invite you to join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.